Scripture text for today comes from the book of Exodus. I'm reading from the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 8. And then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some men for us and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, so his hands were steady until the sun set. And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a reminder in a book, and recite it in the hearing of Joshua. I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." The other day I was talking with one of our members here, and they were sharing with me about some of the choruses that we were singing, and one in particular, as they began to talk about how these words spoke to them and to their heart. Their eyes got moist and tears came to their eyes because within their heart there was an identification with the words of this chorus. It gave expression to the relationship that they had with God, what God had done for them. And it's out of that kind of an experience that we've begun this series of messages on the nature of God and what God does with us and through us and His relationship that He has with us. We began a few weeks ago when we looked at the thought that God is our provider. We saw in the Old Testament how He was called Jehovah Jireh. God is our provider. And then we looked at God is our healer. God makes us whole. Jehovah Rapha. He is the one that makes us whole beings again, the way He created us to be. And today, in this third in this series of messages on the covenant, redemptive nature of God, we're looking at Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-S-I. That means God is my banner, which is what Moses proclaimed about God on this particular day that we just read about in Exodus. And this is one of those stories in the Old Testament that I don't think it takes a lot of imagination to see what's happening here. If you remember that God has brought His people out of Egypt, they're not in the wilderness that long at the point of this story. They've come out of Egypt, they've crossed the Red Sea, God is establishing the Israelites as His people. He's beginning to lead them in this journey through the wilderness to the promised land. And as the story picks up this morning, they encounter some of the residents of the wilderness. And these residents take exception to God's people being there. And there's this one leader in particular called Amalek. And he's about to make war against the people of God. Now, one of the trusty lieutenants for Moses was this man named Joshua. And Moses told Joshua, "So Joshua, get some good men and go down there and prepare to do battle." Now, Moses is an old man. He doesn't need to be out in the battlefields. Well, he tells Joshua, he says, "Joshua, you get out there and you go to battle, and I'm going to get up there on this hill overlooking this plain, and there I'll pray and I'll intercede. And I'll have in my hand the rod, the staff of God." You know, this is a staff that Moses carried with him when he stood before the rulers of Egypt, commanding them to let the people of God go. This rod, this staff, became a symbol of the authority of Moses, but also a symbol that God was with Moses. This was like his rank, his sign that he was God's man to lead God's people. And Moses told Joshua, I'm going to be up on this hill, and I'll pray and intercede. Well, they got up there, and the way that many people prayed in Old Testament times is they held their hands up and they looked up to God and they spoke to God and they had their hands up as kind of a sign of adoration and praise to God, kind of a surrender to God. And Moses would be praying to God. And all of those of us here with bursitis know that as much as you may want to praise God this way, it doesn't take long till those shoulders start burning and those shoulders start coming down a little bit. You feel that burning right in there. So Moses is praying and old Bert is speaking to each shoulder and those arms are coming down. Well, something they noticed was going on. When Moses had his hands up and he was praying to God, they were winning the battle. When his hands came down, they were losing the battle. Now, two of his other companions, Aaron and a man named Ur, H-U-R, were there with Moses on the hill. And they saw what was happening. And they realized they needed to get his hands up so he could pray. But Moses was an old man and he was getting tired. So they rolled a rock up there so Moses could sit down on his rock. And then Aaron got on one side, and Ur got on the other side, and they held his hands up. Moses couldn't hold them up, but his friends could hold his hands up, and Moses went to praying, and Joshua won the battle. And when the battle was all over, God spoke to Moses, and he said, you make sure you tell Joshua what happened. Because we know, since we've read the book, that Joshua was going to be a great leader for God when the people would come into the Canaan. And God wanted to make sure that Joshua knew where this power came from to win the battle. And so Moses would tell Joshua that, but Moses would also do something that the people in the Old Testament did a lot. They would build an altar, a memorial, to say, this is what God did here on this day. And Moses built an altar and he said, we're going to call this place Jehovah Nisi. God is our banner. What he's trying to say for that is that God is our battle flag. God is our banner. Have you seen the movies they've made and read in your history of the Civil War? When the armies would go into war, there would be somebody that would carry the battle flag. And they never wanted that flag to hit the ground. If the guy carrying the battle flag got wounded or shot, somebody else would pick it up. The idea was that flag was their symbol of their unity and of their purpose and who they were, and that carried them into battle. And Moses is saying something about God in that same sense. He's saying, God is our battle flag. He's the one that binds us together in unity. He is our strength. He's the one that wins the battles. He's the banner over us. He does the fighting for us. We can't do it apart from Him. And so he called that hill that day Jehovah Nisi. God is our banner. And he told Joshua about that. When I read that story, one of the first things that comes to my mind is a story that I think is similar to that, but a little more humorous. It comes from the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. You remember that two of the disciples that we read about following Jesus around were two brothers, James and John. They were called the Sons of Thunder. They were the sons of Zebedee. Remember that? James is murdered by King Herod in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. Herod is getting a little tired of all these Christians and they're establishing the faith. This is probably several years, maybe 5 years after the resurrection of Jesus. And the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem are still concerned about these Christians and they're establishing themselves more and more every day. And so he picked out one, King Herod does, he picks out one, James, he puts him in jail, he has him executed, And he finds that the Jewish people thought that was good. And they appreciated old King Herod for that. So Herod says, I'll just get me another one. And he gets Peter. And he puts Peter in jail. And he puts two guards on either side of Peter inside the cell. And then outside the cell, he posts two more guards. And then there's a couple of more doors you have to go through to get outside from this cell that Peter is locked in. And he plans to execute Peter. Now the church is concerned about Peter. Peter is the leader of the church. So they all get together and they're in the house of this woman named Mary. And they're praying and they're interceding for Peter. Oh God, protect Peter. Be with Peter. Do for Peter. We can't do for Peter. Deal with the king. But they're appealing to God to be their banner, to fight for them. Well, in Acts it tells us that during the night Peter's sound asleep. His friends are awake and praying and interceding, and Peter's so worried he's asleep. He's experiencing the peace of God in that situation, I think. But then he wakes up. Scriptures say an angel comes up and touches him on the shoulder and says, Peter, get dressed. It's time to go. And about that time, the shackles fall off of his hands. The two guards are sound asleep. Peter's awake. He gets dressed. He puts on his sandals. He puts on his tunic. He goes. The door opens. He goes out that door. He comes to another gate. It opens. And he finds himself out on the street. He thinks he's having a vision. This can't be real. Then the angel leaves him, and he says, here I am standing on the street. It must be real. So he goes to the house where he suspects all of his friends would be, and he knocks on the door. And the maid of Mary, a woman by the name of Rhonda, comes to the door. She's been in there praying with him. She looks, and there's Peter. She says, oh my gosh, it's Peter. She shuts the door in his face, and she runs back inside to tell everybody it's Peter. Now these folks have been praying for Peter. Rhonda rushes into the room and says, Peter's here! You're crazy, woman. Go on out of here. She said, no, no, it's really Peter. How can it be Peter? He's in jail. These are the people that have been praying for Peter. Peter knocks on the door again. He hollers to them inside. And so they open the door and there's old Peter. Well, they don't know what to do. And they're all excited and they're hooping and hollering. Peter doesn't want to attract any attention, so he asks them to be quiet, and then he explains to them all that has happened. Indeed, God is our banner. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is the one that does what we cannot do. He's the one that wins the battles for us. And he reminds us in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, that the battles that you and I engage in are not against each other. They are spiritual battles. There's forces of good and evil that are at work in this world that we live in. A lot of times we may get aggravated with one another. We may think that somebody says something that hurts our feelings or acts out in a way that's counterproductive to what we're all trying to do together. And we may want to get angry at that individual. We need to remember the teaching that our battles are not against each other. It's against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And we need to appeal to our leader, to our banner, God, to do things for us and through us. As I think about Exodus, the story in Exodus, and the Joshua's battle there against Amalek, as I think about the story in Acts 12, with Peter being in prison and the angel of God hearing the prayers of the people and setting them free, I think about other marvelous scriptures that we have. It's in Philippians where we find that we can do all things through the power of Christ who strengthens us. It's in 1 John 4 that we find that greater is He, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God that is within us than the forces of evil that are in the world. Greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. Romans 8:37 tells us that in Christ we're more than conquerors through Him who loves us and enables us. And all of these give us encouragement and give us strength and insight to how we can respond to the circumstances that come against us in our life today. There are two things that really stand out that I want you to take away from the story of Moses proclaiming Jehovah Nissi, God is our banner. The first is that when we're doing the work of the Lord, we're doing the work of the church, when we're taking care of our families and responsibilities, we have a responsibility to do something. We don't just sit down and wait for God to do something. We need to be engaged. We need to be active. Joshua was out in battle. He was doing something. Now, Peter wasn't doing anything because he couldn't have anything to do in that circumstance. He was in jail. But as a general rule for our life, there are things that we can do every day to bring about the kingdom of God, to further the work of the church, or to meet the needs of our own families. And we need to be open to that, sensitive to that, seek God's wisdom about the things that we need to be doing. Because there is a part for us in all of this. We need to be engaged in the battle. I was reading a story the other day, and I just want to share an excerpt from it about one of the great people that lives in our times, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. I'm amazed at what this woman has been able to do for the kingdom of God. And the reason that she's able to do it is because she knows where her strength comes from. She knows who her banner is. Listen to these words from Mother Teresa. "I'm still convinced," says Mother Teresa, that it is He, referring to God, not I. That's why I was not afraid. I knew that if the work was mine, it would die with me. But I knew it was His work, that it will live and bring much good. If the work is looked at just by our own eyes and from our own way, naturally, we ourselves can do nothing. But in Christ, we can do all things. That's why this work has become possible, because we are convinced that it is He who is working with us and through us in the poor and for the poor. God is with us, and we know that He has led us, and all things are possible with God. And that's what the New Testament teaches for you and I today. Greater is Christ who is in us. We can do all things through the power of Christ who strengthened us. We are more than conquerors because of Christ being with us. We have a part to do. Mother Teresa heard the call of God to go into the nastiest place on the planet Earth, Calcutta, and serve the lepers and the poor and the throwaways of society. She couldn't do that work in her own strength, but by the power of Christ, she can do that work. She can love the unlovable, because God does His part, because God is her banner. And so while we want to remember that we have to be active, we have to be proactive, as Covey would say, we also need to remember that God is our banner. He's the one that strengthens us. He does the impossible. He does what we cannot do. When we're overwhelmed, He's not overwhelmed. When we're caught by surprise, He's not caught by surprise. He is aware of what's happening and what the needs are within our lives. I want to ask you this morning to think about the things that are going on in your life this morning. I sat down for a few minutes this morning with a notepad over in the parsonage, and I said, what are the things that are going on in my life that I need Jehovah Nissi to get into battle? And I about ran out of paper. As more I thought about it, the more I let the Lord lead me, the more I realized that a lot of what was going on in my life, especially the last couple of weeks that I've been struggling with, is I've been trying to trust in my own strength and figure a way to solve a lot of problems that are not my problems to solve. I need to lay them at the feet of Jesus, at the throne of God, and let Jesus and let God be my banner. Let them do the fighting. Let them do the part that I cannot do and I need them to do. And it felt good to put my hand on that list this morning and say, Father, forgive me for being so presumptuous to think that I could solve all of these problems. And forgive me for letting myself become down in worry and anxiety about these problems. And thank you, Father, that I can just let go of this stuff and give it to you and just be free. Because you are my banner. You are the one who brings victory. I want to invite you this morning to kind of pull all of these last 3 weeks together and say to yourself, what is it that you need God to be in your life to provide for your every need? I pray every week as I pray a blessing over you, may God meet your every need according to His riches, His glory that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is it that you need God to do in your life? Where is it that you need His provision? Will you claim that He is Jehovah Jireh for you? He is your provider. And where is it that you need completeness in your life? You know that you're struggling with anxiety. You can feel it. You get upset. You need to be in control, but you're not in control. You feel that going on in your life. You feel the pride sometimes, the struggles that you have. You need to be whole. You need just to let yourself be the son and daughter of God, loved by God, accepted by God, esteemed as beautiful by God. You just need to dwell there and spend some quiet time with Him. Can you let Him be Jehovah Rapha for you, your healer, and make you whole? And then where are you struggling? Is it work? Is it with a spouse? Is it with children? Whatever it may be in your life, and you're out in the battle, you feel alone? You're not. Because your banner is none other than Jesus Christ. Jehovah Nisi, God is our banner. Will you let Him be the banner in your life this morning? I ask you just to take a few minutes in prayer. And as you go into this day and the week to come, let the Holy Spirit bring to your mind those areas in your life where you're relying on your own strength, your own insight, your own power. Resolve that you'll repent and you'll let God be your banner. You'll let God do your fighting for you. You let Him bring victory in your life, because indeed He is the Lord of the impossible. He is Jehovah Nisi, our banner. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning for the good news that the banner over us is a banner of love and of mercy and acceptance. Father, I thank You that You delight in showing Yourself strong in our lives, of meeting our every need, of making us whole, and of going into those situations in our life where we don't see any way that we can prevail, and You make us more than conquerors. Father, I ask You to show Yourself strong in the lives of all these people gathered here this morning. Become their banner, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we say